Well, greetings, brethren. The title of today's sermon is A God-Plain Marriage. Now, we've heard that phrase in the past. I don't remember the first time that I heard that used, probably by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. You might say, well, I've heard that phrase before, a God-plain relationship. I don't know where it originally came from. I don't know if it was coined by Mr. Armstrong or if maybe he heard it somewhere else. But it is very appropriate to what we will be speaking about today, because marriage is a God-plain relationship. A God-plain marriage indicates that marriage should be and must be, for converted people, a marriage that is on a godly level, a spiritual level. It must attain to things higher than the things of this earth. Now, this world is given over to Satan right now. We understand that Satan is the god of this world. But we are called to a better resurrection. Those of us who have been given God's Holy Spirit, we are called to a higher calling, a higher plane, a higher level. And indeed, our marriages must also rise to a higher plane. So I've chosen the title for today's sermon, A God-Plain Marriage. What is it that God intends for our marriages? As we look around the world, we see that this world does not understand what a godly marriage should be. Indeed, the percentages of divorces have now risen to more than one out of every two marriages will end in divorce, especially here in America, and it seems to be getting worse every single day. I can remember back to the early years after World War II. It seemed like marriage was a more stable factor, required as a custom here in America. People stayed with their marriages. They tried to make their marriages work more than they do today. Maybe it's the result of Hollywood, where there are so many divorces that it becomes commonplace, and indeed it's become acceptable. When I was a young man, the movie rating system worked different than it does today. They had A, B, and C, I believe it was back then. And the way it worked was, if a movie was C, that stood for condemned, I suppose. But it depicted simply a divorce in the movie. And I say simply a divorce because movies go much, much beyond that today. But it was understood. It was understood by the population in general that divorce was something that was wrong. We did not want divorce in America. We did not want divorce in the presidency. And it was something that it was understood in the American population that there should not be divorce. But when a movie came along that had a C rating, it depicted divorce. And so everyone that saw that, they said, ooh, that is really bad. And indeed it was. But what it taught us, it taught my generation, is that it is an option. Not that good of an option, not that viable of an option, but yet it was an option. And so what we have seen in the ensuing years, in the 50s, 60s, and on to the end of the century, is that more and more people have elected to avail themselves of the option to leave marriages and to get divorced. And so we come to the point where we are today, where there are very few, if we would use colloquialism, very few good marriages. I might ask you the question, brethren, how many good marriages do you know of? Stop and think. In fact, if you were to go to the Holy Scriptures and begin to look through the Scriptures for good marriages, how many would you find? How many really perfect marriages are depicted in the pages of the Bible? We could go back and look at Adam and Eve when marriage was instituted, and we can say, well, there were some pretty rough things that went on. In fact, their two children, Cain and Abel, their first two children, one killed the other. There were some serious problems in that marriage. We can come right on up to the time of Abraham. God made promises to Abraham and to Sarah, but there were some difficulties in that marriage as well. You will remember that Abraham took Hagar, his handmaid, to raise up children by her. Not an ideal standard in any way to present as an ideal marriage, let alone a God-plain marriage. Look at Jacob. Jacob had a number of wives and concubines. Now, God works through those kinds of situations. And one of the things we'll see today is that God does not always have to have an absolutely perfect relationship to establish or to bring about His plan. God works with some very terrible relationships and still brings about His plan. But when we look at Jacob and his marriages to Rachel and the other women, he had children by four different women who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And yet, you certainly wouldn't hold the marriages he had up as examples of really good marriages. And you can come all the way up to the New Testament looking for really good marriages, and they are very, very rare in the Bible. Brethren, let's turn over to John chapter 14. Not only are there not really many good marriages in the Bible, there are some horrible examples in the Bible. The prophet Hosea was told by God to go and marry a harlot, a woman of prostitution. Certainly not an example for godly people. Now, God worked out, again, He worked out His purposes and His prophecies through some very terrible situations. John chapter 14, let's begin in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And brethren, we have recognized in the past that this word mansions is not a good translation here in the King James. But what we're talking about is that God is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, that in my Father's house there are many, many jobs to be done. There are many, many positions that are going to need to be fulfilled. There are many occupations. Every one of us, brethren, you and me, everyone in God's church, has gifts. We are called by God and given special gifts. We read in 1 Corinthians 12 that every man has gifts. And sometimes we as human beings, we give way too much credit to our gift and demean the gifts of others. But we all have gifts, and those are not just to serve us. Those are to serve the entire church, all of the brethren, all of the called out ones, all of those who are in the assembly. And what Jesus Christ is saying is that in His Father's house there is a position, there's room for everyone. All of these things are needed. Continuing on in verse 2, He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare